This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Marcela Diaz. She's executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, and Lois Rudnick, who is a cultural and immigration historian, and they are here to talk about American Dreams, Border Realities, a film festival in support of Somos Un Pueblo Unido's 20th anniversary, which is happening this Saturday at the CCA. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's great to be here again.
So I've been watching these films, and they're incredible. They are really fascinating. You, I guess, helped to curate, Lois?
Yes. I was not coerced or co-opted, but it was suggested by Marcela that I be the curator of this film festival, but all of us contributed. Marcela found the first film, The Hand That Feeds, which is an extraordinary documentary that really hasn't been seen much around the country, certainly not in Santa Fe, about undocumented immigrants at an Upper East Side New York cafe who essentially picket their place of work because of their mistreatment, not being paid minimum wage or overtime, being fired for calling in sick. And it is the most wonderful David and Goliath story of people who put their lives and families and jobs and being able to stay in the United States at risk in order to just be able to achieve the fundamental fairness that is promised them in American labor law to fair wages and decent working conditions.
And we're going to be talking to that filmmaker in
Indeed.
A little while, which I'm really excited about. It's a very good movie, and we don't want to give away the whole movie because it's very suspenseful. You never know, and this is really how it is in real life. You never know how any of these labor disputes are going to come out,
right,
as you well know, Marcela.
That's right, and that's one of the reasons why we really wanted to show this film in Santa Fe. Just recently, our Worker Center members were featured in the New York Times for their very innovative approach to organizing in the workplace, especially when we don't have low-wage worker unions in Santa Fe and New Mexico. So we have to find alternatives to organizing against workplace abuses, and there are some incredibly creative, brave individuals who have joined together in Santa Fe through our Worker Center to do just that, to organize for not just the sort of bigger ticket items, minimum wage laws, anti-wage theft laws at the city level and at the state level, driver's licenses, immigration reform, but to actually support and organize at their work site. And that's so this really resonated with the Worker Center and the work that they're doing, and we wanted to tell this story from New York City. And that's exactly what this documentary does. Now, we all know New York City depends on immigrant labor just as Santa Fe does.
Yeah, I was actually, as I was watching this film, The Hand That Feeds, really struck by how parallel New York City and population 12 million or whatever it is, and Santa Fe population 70,000
right.
really
83,000.
83, whatever. Okay. but I mean, they're dealing with the same struggles.
Same struggles, same issues.
The nation, this is a nationwide movement. A lot of it's been led by restaurant workers all over the country who are the lowest paid workers, but they are, it isn't just about undocumented immigrants. It's about the fact that the low wage economy is increasingly what the so-called growth sector of the American economy, the biggest growth sector of our economy.
And those jobs are often not unionized. They're very difficult to unionize, those particular work sites. And we're talking about very unstable, non-full-time positions in many cases. This is happening not just in Santa Fe. It's happening across the country. Mm-hmm. So we have to find ways of organizing because that's where the growth of the job market is, and we have to find ways to increase those wages, to actually fight when our wages have been stolen, to improve the conditions, and this story is the struggle to do that. And as you say, it is suspenseful. It's not, you know, they attempt to form an independent union,
yeah,
sort of all by themselves, with the support of a worker center
and Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
But it's not the end of the story, right? It's still a struggle, even for unions, to negotiate contracts in this kind of economy.
But I will say you'll go out dancing after the end of the film. That's all I'll say.
Salsa.
Salsa, of course.
There is a little merengue in that film, yes.
There is, in fact, some dancing in the film itself. So, but I think that what this film points to, and there's another film we're going to be talking to the filmmaker later also, called Kingdom of Shadows, by Bernardo Ruiz. What we're talking about here is the reality that it is considered part of normal American business practice today to make your profits through stealing from the poor. I mean, we might as well be in the middle of the 19th century.
Mm-hmm. We're in the Gilded Age. Many, many people have described what's been happening since the 1980s economic crash, and then what happened in the early 2000s as another Gilded Age, in which the 1% control most of the economic power as well as much of the political power of the country. And absolutely.
Interestingly enough, it was immigrant workers in this country that really spurred a labor movement,
right,
and really built the labor movement. That's why we have an eight-hour, well, we used to have
an eight-hour
day, no child labor, things like that. And you know, 150 years later, we have, or 100 years later, we have immigrants, some of the most vulnerable voices in the workforce, moving these policies, moving these movements forward. And that is one of the reasons why I'm so excited to be, after 18 years, still a part of Somos Un Pueblo Unido in its 20-year celebration.
Which I have to say, from my point of view, the reason why I love working with Marcela and this organization is because I think it's one of the most effective immigrant rights organizations in the country. And as we know from the New York Times article, it's a model. It's a national model in so many respects.
Let's talk a little bit about what Somos Un Pueblo Unido has accomplished in these glorious 20 years. You've been with the organization the whole time.
No, it was founded in 1995, actually.
Okay.
And I came on as one of its first staff members 18 years ago. It was founded in 1995 in reaction to the mid-90s wave of anti-immigrant policies, political posturing. Back then we had a governor of California, Pete Wilson, who passed Proposition 187, and he ran on primarily an anti-immigrant ticket. Flopped, at the end of the day, voters wanted a little bit more substance, but it amazes me how history is repeating itself,
right,
during this presidential primary. And that's one of the things that I'm really excited about with American Dreams, Border Realities. I think that each of these films, The Hand That Feeds, another showing of El Norte, and Kingdom of Shadows, which is about the U.S.-Mexico drug war, I think that it touches on all of these issues that we're hearing and bombarded with on the news every day, right? Incarceration issues, detention issues, the refugee crisis, not just in Europe, but the south of our border with Central American young refugees and their mothers coming and fleeing a different kind of violence that was depicted in El Norte's, in Gregory Nava's El Norte. And so, the low-wage economy, all of the issues that we're hearing about are touched upon in conjunction with these three films.
And one of the great travesties or tragedies in watching El Norte is this is a 1983 film about a Guatemalan brother and sister who flee the civil war after their father's beheaded and their mother disappears. And their journey could be a journey taken by any undocumented refugee from Central America today. The violence is horrendous. Navar is unflinching in forcing us to watch these children, crawl through pipes and with rats and try to make their way into an America that the young boy thinks will give them the American dream, like every other immigrant who's come to this country in the last 300 years. The only difference in today's young people who are coming as refugees from Central America and Mexico is that the narco terrorists now control the human trafficking, which wasn't true. But it's so important for us to remember that it was our government that supported these civil wars in the 1980s in El Salvador and Nicaragua and in Guatemala, because the infrastructure and connections that were built between criminals, the police, and government officials, and the amount of weapons that we supported that were sent there became the basis for the narco-terrorist work that happened in Mexico and then moved down after the United States did it, started its drug anti-drug wars in the 90s into Central America. And our government sent 800,000 criminals across the border to Mexico in the first decade of the 2000s, and 330,000 criminals into Central America from our prisons. They're the ones who helped to form the gangs.
Right. I mean, talk about things that come back to bite
you. Oh, absolutely.
It also, I mean, when we look at these films that you're showing, I mean, it's maybe some of them are hard to watch at moments, but I think they just are so interesting because they're such a great reflection on what our society has become. And when you think about the whole narco-trafficking situation, you start to realize, especially if you do the math, that most of the business in the world, like generation of money, generation of wealth, is coming from things that are fundamentally unethical, illegal, mm-hmm. immoral in one way or another. Whether
right.
that means stealing money from a dishwasher who should be making $7.25 an hour, but in fact is making $4 mm-hmm. an hour, or whether it be sexual trafficking or drug trafficking or whatever. I mean, the idea of an honest, small or medium-sized business has become almost anachronistic.
Right. Well, and speaking of the drug traffic, 90% of the drugs that come out of Central America are coming here because of the U.S. demand by Americans. So we are creating the demand that creates the narco-terrorism, that creates the violence in these towns where gangs go into kindergartens and threaten kids if they don't sell drugs. They'll kill their families.
And then we have all this political posturing by politicians that have real-world consequences, not just for our familias who are trying to survive and provide for their children, many of whom were born in the United States and in Santa Fe and in Nuevo Mexico, but it saddles the whole country with these terrible policies that have deep ramifications for our local economies, for the local judicial systems. I mean, we have to get immigration right, but that feels further along and nowhere in the near horizon right now at the national level, unfortunately, which means that we have to keep fighting here in Santa Fe in New Mexico to hold on to all of these common sense integrative policies that we've passed in the last 20 years and not just defend, because unfortunately we're having to defend so many of those laws and policies locally at the state level, but to move our state forward. And that's really, I think, the message of Somos, right? And the message, our dream, right, is to completely,
right.
And this is what we've been trying to do for 20 years, to integrate our familias into the political life, into the cultural life, into the economic life of our communities. And that's what we're trying to do.
One thing I love about what you do is that you guys are, by many accounts, the best organizers in the entire state of New Mexico. I mean, I've heard various people say this, and that's certainly my experience of how you guys mm-hmm. work. But you've got children, young people, young parents, middle-aged and mm-hmm. older people, immigrants, non-immigrants, all showing up to these events. And you know that those little kids who are wearing their T-shirts and speaking up at a meeting or watching other people speak up at a meeting are going to be politicized and are going to, I mean, that will then be in their comfort zone. It's like, oh, yeah, you go speak at a meeting.
Right.
That's right. And here, I mean, I will never forget in this last legislative session in January in early 2015, countless, hundreds of young people, children coming on Immigrant Day of Action with their parents to the Roundhouse and actually sitting in the gallery and listening to the people who defend our communities and the people who use vitriol in their political posturing against our communities. And those children will not forget.
Yeah.
They are New Mexican. They were born here.
Right.
And they're not going anywhere. And they are already used to being a part of that process and hearing directly from the people who say these terrible things about them and then vote against their families. And so, we're building a movement here, and it takes a lot of amazing amazing, strong allies, and that's why we're so excited about this 20th anniversary. And we wanted to use the series of events. We've already had a couple of them, and we have two more. And this film series is happening this Saturday. We've teamed up with CCA, Cinematech, Jason Silverman, who helped us pick one of the films.
Yes, The Kingdom of Shadows.
And they're just being really wonderful about it. You
and
know?
I want to say that we're, you know, the directors of both El Norte and Kingdom of Shadows, Gregory Nava and Renato Ruiz, are going to be at there. They're going to be doing Q&A after their films, and we have a reception at 5:30 where they are going to be talking about lessons from the border, and some of those lessons have to do with the incredible danger and violence they faced as filmmakers and their crew did when they were making their movies, because Ruiz has done a prior film called Reportero, about the journalists who've been killed by the narco-terrorists for telling the truth about what's going on with government collaboration and police collaboration with them. So it's going to be a tremendous conversation that KSFR is going to be recording and playing at some point, which I'm really pleased to say.
But that doesn't mean that you should miss it.
No. You want to see the live, interactive dynamics.
It's a catered reception. It'll be wonderful.
Yes.
And you're supporting Somos Un Pueblo Unido and CCA.
And so this is all happening this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock, the film The Hand That Feeds, plus a Skype Q&A with the filmmakers, and that's at 11 in the morning. We're going to be talking to those guys in just a few minutes. At 2 o'clock, El Norte, with Q&A live with director Gregory Nava, and then at 5:30, a benefit reception and discussion, Lessons from the Border, and then at 7 o'clock, Kingdom of Shadows, and Q&A with director Bernardo Ruiz, who will also be with us in just a little while here on the Radio Cafe. For a benefit, it's a very reasonable price to get in. If you want to get tickets, what do? Can you go to the CCA?
Yes. You can always buy tickets at the door, but we're recommending that people go to ccasantafe.org for a description of all the movies and the events, and you can pre-purchase tickets online. You can also call CCA at 982-1338. Of course, this is CCA's Cinematech, and we're so excited to be teaming up with them.
And you can obviously go to one movie or the other. You can also
go
to
all
three. You can have a special price for all
three.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. Marcela Diaz is executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, which is on the web, somosunpueblounido.org. We will link to that at santafe.radiocafe.org. Lois Rudnick, cultural historian and immigration historian and curator of, or co-curator of, American Dreams Border Realities, a film festival in support of Somos 20th anniversary this Saturday. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
A great pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.